Welcome to Radio at Firehouse.com. Real issues, real answers, real firefighters. Firehouse.com brings you the leaders of the nation's fire, rescue, and EMS services, the top columnists and educators, and today's most important issues, headlines, and comments. Listen right on your desktop or download and listen on the go to Firehouse.com.
Hi, my name's Ed Camo, and thanks for joining us today on Campus Firewatch Radio on Radio at Firehouse.com. On today's show, we're going to be talking about some pretty significant things that have transpired over the past month. The first thing is that the Right to Know legislation was passed down in Congress, so we'll be talking about that. And then we're going to be talking about the new training program that's out there, igottoknow.org, and to hell and back. That's just an absolutely phenomenal training program that's been developed by the People's Burn Foundation out of Indiana. And then finally, we're going to be wrapping up with the launch that we did up on Capitol Hill on Campus Fire Safety Month. So let's get right into it. First thing I'd like to talk about is the Right to Know legislation. Now, this is something that's been in play since the 2000 fire at Seton Hall University that killed three freshmen and injured over 50 students. And at that time, campus fire safety was a big issue, but not a real huge one. It wasn't really big on people's radar screen. Well, that fire unquestionably raised awareness among college administrators, fire chiefs, and everybody. And as a result of that very fire, Congressman Pascrell from New Jersey introduced legislation called the Campus Fire Safety Right to Know Act that would require colleges to report fire safety information to the Secretary of Education. Well, as I've learned over the years, nothing happens quickly in Congress, and it's been 8 years in the making, but it finally did pass this year. Each session of Congress, it had been reintroduced, and Congressman Pascrell introduced it in the House. Senator Lautenberg from New Jersey introduced it in the Senate, and they were able to get it integrated into the Higher Education Act, and it was signed into law in August by the President. Now, the important thing about this law is that it doesn't mandate schools do anything other than report information. And what they have to report is information such as the number of fires they've had, the number of injuries and fatalities related to these fires, the amount of damage that was caused, the number of beds protected by sprinklers and fire alarms, and the amount of fire safety training provided to students. In addition, the Secretary of Education, in addition to actually publicizing this information once a year, the Secretary of Education has to also compile a list of best practices that colleges are using across the country. So really, the idea is, again, the schools, not mandating the schools do anything. They don't have to install sprinklers. They don't have to do anything other than report what their present situation is when it comes to these sort of systems and what practices they have in place for fire safety training. Now, the focus is on campus residence halls. It does not include off-campus housing or Greek. It focuses specifically on on-campus residence halls. So that's really important, too, that a number of schools are very concerned about having to report, for example, the fraternities and sororities that aren't under their control. When it's all compiled, information is publicly available through the Secretary of Education, and it's going to provide prospective students and parents with information about the level of fire safety at a school, so they can use this as part of their decision-making. And also, we're hoping that this public disclosure will help encourage schools to upgrade fire safety. What's really important about this, too, is that this public disclosure will also level the playing field, because right now, all that's in place is a voluntary reporting system used through the Princeton Review. And so some schools report, some schools don't, and it places some schools in a disadvantage over other schools. And it's not an open process. They use a non-disclosed scoring system to evaluate a school. So the scoring system on a school, it's just not really clear how it was obtained. So through this system, everybody consistently has to report the same level of information that's publicly made available afterwards. So that's one of the big advantages of this system. And the other point, too, is that a number of schools already do have this information on hand. They just don't have to report it right now. I'm sure if you call up any school, they can tell you exactly how many fires they've had, you know, in the past year. And in anticipation of this law, a number of schools have already started compiling and reporting information, including, for example, Duke University and the University of Colorado. So by doing this process, not only are we going to be able to see what level of fire safety schools are having on their campuses, but also it's a chance to showcase schools that are doing very good programs on their campuses and have taken the initiative to protect their students through sprinklers and fire alarms and strong fire safety education practices. So the law, long time in its making, is a great one in my opinion. It's going through the rulemaking phase right now. There are a series of public hearings being held across the country that the public can attend and have input on it. And that schedule of hearings will be listed on a link down below here. So if you look, you can get more information on those. And you can also submit written testimony on it as well. So that's kind of the wrap on the Campus Fire Safety Right to Know Act. There's a lot more information available on Campus Firewatch. So, again, take a look at those links down below, and you can find out when the hearing's going to be scheduled and what you can do to be a part of helping to write these regulations. And here on Campus Firewatch Radio, we have three very special people joining us today to talk about the launch we did down in Washington, D.C. We have Bonnie Woodruff, who lost her son in the 1996 fire at Chapel Hill. Jenny Levering, who's the Assistant Dean of Students at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, and Dan Jones, who's the Fire Chief of the Chapel Hill Fire Department. Thanks for joining us, everybody.
Good morning, Ed.
Good morning. Well, last week we all met down in Washington, D.C., had a great experience up there on Capitol Hill with about 50 students from the University of North Carolina and South Carolina just to kick off National Campus Fire Safety Month. And this took a lot of work and a lot of people's parts, and all of you all are pretty heavily involved in it. But maybe, Jenny, you can give us a little bit of, from your perspective, how this came to be in the first place.
Definitely. Our students, who are current members of the Phi Gamma Delta fraternity, have always had a special interest in fire safety and providing fire safety continued education to all the other Greek students on campus and just better educating students at UNC Chapel Hill. And we have a couple annual programs, but they were feeling last year like it was getting a little stagnant, kind of boring, the same old thing. And so two of the students came to myself and Bonnie and Dan and sat down and said, you know, we really want to do something bigger. We really want to do something different. What can we do that would make an impact? And so we met this summer, early this summer in May, and Chief Jones and Bonnie had been up to D.C. before to do some fire safety advocacy and education work and thought, wouldn't this be great to do with the students? And so we then got together with Ed and talked about doing it at the beginning of National Fire Safety Month. So that's how it additionally came to be. It was really just the idea of two students wanting to do a little bit more, making a little more impact. And what they did then at that point was reached out to other students on campus, mostly Greek students and a couple from student government, to see who would be interested in doing something like this. They spent most of their time as students over the summer getting other people involved. Well, Dan and Bonnie and I and Ed, too, took the lead on making the plans for what we were going to do up in Chapel Hill once we got there. We also had a big fundraising component to what we were doing and spent the summer fundraising for the trip as well.
And that was probably one of the more difficult things on doing things on such short notice, is trying to get everybody going together and getting the funding going. And you were pretty successful at that, I must admit, Jenny. Having UNC step forward as the lead agency on this, so people could make those contributions to the effort through UNC.
Exactly.
Well, you know, we got up there. We had, how many students was it, Jenny? 30, I think it was.
Yeah, it was 29 students.
Yep. And we got up there, and now, Bonnie, you've done these before, too. I was kind of wondering what's your thoughts on how you think it turned out. You know, you've been up on Capitol Hill before. What were your thoughts on how it went and how the students reacted to it all?
Well, I thought it went very well. It exceeded my expectations. You just never know when you're working with students exactly what kind of commitment they're going to have. And I felt that these students were very committed because it came from them. And I think they really bought into the idea that because they were part of it and part of the planning, and it was just wonderful. And when we got up there, we had the briefing that you did, which I think made them feel very comfortable in knowing exactly what our goals were when we had our visits. And you made it very clear that it would be with staffers and sort of exactly what they were to expect. And we were divided into teams, and we were able to each team meet within themselves and sort of make a plan about how we were going to cover the points that we were supposed to. And my group, which I was lucky enough to be paired with Jenny, and we had three students and my husband, Leon, and we found that the students were very, they would take the lead. I mean, we would go in, we would introduce ourselves, but they felt very comfortable with the material, and they did a wonderful job in thanking the congressmen and senator staffers for helping pass the Right to Know Act that was part of the higher education bill in trying to promote legislation that's out there, still out there now, that's that they're looking at, and then to you know, ask that they not water down what is the regulations that will be with the Right to Know Act. And they did a wonderful job. They represented themselves, they represented the university, and they represented fire safety in a wonderful way.
And how receptive were the staffers and the members of Congress that you did meet with coming in there? Because I'm sure they must see, you know, a million constituents a year. How did they react to the students coming in and yourselves?
Well, I think that most of the staffers, I think one of the staffers that we met with were probably maybe 10 to 15 years older than these students, but two or three of them were very similar ages, I mean maybe 5 years out. So I think they were very impressed. That's what I'll tell you. All the congressmen were impressed. They were impressed with their knowledge about and the enthusiasm they had for the fire issue, and most promised to support the legislation that's there because of these students' commitment.
Oh, that's an excellent reaction. Excellent. Now, Dan, you've been up there doing these a number of times as well. You know, maybe you can talk about how important it is to do something like this, because it's kind of the squeaky wheel syndrome, isn't it, up there when it comes to legislation?
Oh, it certainly is. Anytime you're trying to get the attention of Congress to focus on an issue, something other than, you know, a mainstream national issue like the economy or jobs or the Iraq War, when you need them to focus on something more specific like campus fire safety, you really have to be prepared, and you have to go in there and meet with the legislators and, more importantly, their staffs, and show them why the issue is important, show them why it affects their constituents, show them the impact that it has on their home districts. Kind of goes back to the old saying of all politics is local. And that's really what you have to do. You have to go in and show them that this is an issue in their home district. It's an issue for their constituents. I think what you find, and Ed, you've done this quite a bit too, you find that if you can couch an issue in terms of its impact in a congressman or congresswoman's home district, and you can show them what the real issue is, once you get through the emotions and the headlines part of it and actually talk to them about the issue, they do pay attention and they do want to try and make things better. And so the objective always is on these kinds of missions to Capitol Hill is to do exactly that, to show them how they can make it better. And I have to echo what Bonnie said. The students were tremendous. Jenny and I, with the North Carolina students, had held a kind of a class for them about a week before and gave them some of the issues from Campus Firewatch, some of the background data on campus fire hazards and the losses each academic year and how these events affect students and their families and talk to them about how you actually address an issue with congressional staffers. And I was so impressed with how they had taken that information we gave them, and they really had studied it. They knew the data. They knew the background information. And maybe the most impressive thing that we experienced was the students who were able to take that broad information and convert it into personal stories that they could relate. A couple of the students in my team were actually able to talk about their personal experiences in off-campus housing and with landlords who don't pay attention to hazards and so forth, and how this legislation effort could help them and students that come behind them. So important to put that in those kind of personal terms and use personal anecdotes, and the Carolina students did that masterfully.
And we also had a large contingent up from the University of South Carolina, where they had that tragic fire last October that killed 7 students, 6 of them from USC. And it's very much what you were saying. They were making it local because they were meeting with their South Carolina legislators and, you know, the congressmen and the senators. And just because they'd had this tragedy, they were able to drive the same message home to the South Carolina contingent as well, is how important all of this is.
It is important, Ed. And as you know, there's that element of what we call the teachable moment, when the public, the news media, political leaders pay attention following a tragedy. And you have a brief period of time there following a tragedy when you have the attention of those groups and you can make that message sink in. And it's sad that that's the way it is in this country, but I tell people all the time, if you want a stop sign erected in America, somebody has to get run over in the intersection. It's sad but true. And that teachable moment is what we try to use. And South Carolina had that opportunity, and they were capitalizing on it, even though I think those of us from North Carolina who had a similar experience could see that this was still extremely painful for them. The wounds were still fresh, and it took a lot of courage on their part to go up there and participate with us this early in their grieving process.
I totally agree with that. It was very obvious that they were had started their journey, and it was very obvious that we had come a long way.
Yeah. Jenny, you had a long bus ride back with them afterwards. What did the students?
So did I.
and Bonnie, sorry. What did the students have to say afterwards? What was their reaction to the whole experience?
Well, we're still working on compiling a pretty comprehensive assessment of questions and feedback from them, because as you can imagine, the way back they were a little tired. They weren't really talking and processing the trip too much. That being said, though, they were extremely appreciative. I know a lot of students had individual conversations with myself and Katie about how they were so thankful to have been a part, that they learned so much. There's one student individually who's changing her major now to poli-sci. So she definitely had a life-changing career moment. And I know also there's a lot of students that sat down on the bus with Bonnie and Dr. Woodruff and just talked about the experience and talked about how much it meant to them. So I think we'll have a little more quantitative data on exactly what they got out of the experience once we get these surveys out and collected. But their initial reaction, they want to do it again. They loved it. They had a great time. They were very appreciative and enjoyed the experience.
What did they say to you, Bonnie? Did you have any discussions on with some of the students about how they reacted to the whole experience?
I certainly did, and I was just so impressed with the way they were able to express themselves, and that many of them did this out their house corporations and their chapters, wanted to be involved and to send someone, but a lot of times a couple of the students told me they didn't really know much about the fire safety issue, and that this trip had educated them so much, and that they were going to go back into their houses and just make sure that that this was an safety issue that was going to be, out in front, and that they were going to make sure that everyone in their chapter realized how important it was. And I mean, I think that as much as what we did on Capitol Hill, I think taking this information that these students learned back to Chapel Hill is going to make a huge difference also.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, that's what we're all driving at, is to change the behavior and the knowledge of the students, so they can also impact other students around them.
Dan, and we've already seen... Oh, I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, go right ahead, Jenny.
We've already seen that a little bit just in the couple of weeks in that we had our annual fire safety training day on Friday, and one of the members who attended the trip got up in front of all of our chapter fire marshals and house directors from our different Greek houses and talked about the trip, talked about the experience, talked about what he got out of it. So he definitely was able to bring it back and educate others. So that was great to see.
Well, that's excellent. That's absolutely.
And we also, there was also one of the girls there that was on the trip who was also able to stand up and share. And I was just really impressed. I was at this fire training session and with the participation, because I have been involved with this for several years. And this was the first time that I can remember, Jenny, correct me if I'm wrong, maybe there was just one fraternity that wasn't represented?
We had 100% attendance by the end. There was somebody that was a little bit late.
Okay, so
but
we do have 100%, which I think is excellent.
Mm-hmm. That is excellent. And I remember, Dan, you're telling me a story about a student, too, that changed her career plans just as a result of what happened up there.
Yeah, one of the students in my group that afternoon, we were kind of debriefing a little bit with the team and talking about it. And she's a senior and had planned to graduate this year and go on to law school. And she's decided that she would like to postpone law school for a year or two and go to Washington and work as a congressional aide and specialize on some of these issues. She thought that it would be really worthwhile to commit to work on that, and the experience would be great. And so she's pretty serious about it. She's followed up with me by email since, has shared with me that she has been talking with as many other Greeks as she can about the issue since then. So this is having a greater effect than we had all even hoped for, in that these students that participated in this are becoming advocates themselves, and we couldn't have hoped for more.
Yeah, that's great to hear, and I think this even goes beyond us too in terms of the UK connection. Your peers over there, Dan, were doing some stuff over in the UK as well, kicking off National Campus Fire Safety Month on the very same day.
They sure were. They matched up with us through your efforts, Ed, and Campus Firewatch. They matched up with us in couple of jurisdictions in the UK, and on the very same day that we were doing that, they rolled out a similar program over there that involved students, and we exchanged information and exchanged even photographs that showed the connection with our group having a UK flag at the Capitol and their group having that. One of the really touching things that the UK group did was the students in the UK released 18 yellow balloons as part of their ceremonies, commemorating the 18 American college students who have been lost over the last couple of years. And for them to do that and send photographs of that, for our students to be able to see that, that connection across the water just speaks volumes about how important this subject is, and the protection of our children is paramount to just about anything else.
And it's really amazing how much this whole effort has grown since the tragic fire there in 1996. You know, campus fire safety now is a pretty major thing. I mean, look, a significant piece of legislation got passed. We're doing these things on Capitol Hill. You know, I know, Dan, you've been a long time a voice for campus fire safety, and Bonnie has become one through the unfortunate tragedy down there. It's just amazing the strides that we've made in terms of raising awareness among everybody.
It really is. You know, there were few voices out there kind of lonely prior to our tragedy. And I think the fact that the tragedy here in Chapel Hill did resonate with so many people. It occurred on Mother's Day. It occurred on graduation day. It occurred in a setting that I think most parents, and I know Bonnie's shared this with me numerous times, most parents just never, ever think that this would happen with their children when they're at college. You worry about a lot of things when you send your kids off to college, but having them pass away in a fire in the very places where they you hope that they're the safest, in their dorms or their fraternity houses, sorority houses, apartments, is probably the farthest thing from everyone's mind. And so the fact that that got so much national attention, and that kind of got the ball rolling, but I think the thing that really then kicked it in high gear as far as a national issue was the Seton Hall fire and the tragedy of that, and the number of folks lost and injured, and this string of tragic events that began in Chapel Hill and most recently here last year at the Ocean Isle with the South Carolina and Clemson students. There's a string of tragedies there that are all linked together, and so many good things have come out of those tragedies, and the best thing that could come out of those tragedies would be that there not be more tragedies in the future. My fear is there will be, because not everybody gets the message, and when it comes to politics, sometimes economies rule over common sense. But with groups like the Center for Campus Fire Safety, Campus Fire Watch, Common Voices, which is a parent advocate group, those groups are really beginning to have an impact. And hopefully in the future we can reduce or eliminate altogether these kinds of tragedies from occurring on our campuses.
Well, I can't say enough how much I really appreciate how much everybody chipped in, you know, from UNC, Bonnie, Chapel Hill Fire Department. There were just so many people, you know, behind the scenes that really were such a critical part of this. And we, and again, just like you've all been saying, I think it's just an incredibly successful day that we should just definitely keep doing each year.
Oh, I totally agree, and the students echo that. They've that's what a couple of emails I've gotten that have said, please, if you do that, we're you know, my house wants to send two or three next year. Of course, we may have to limit them, but there's lots of interest in continuing it with the students also.
Well, we've been talking with Bonnie Woodruff, who's a parent advocate for campus fire safety and with Common Voices, Jenny Levering, Assistant Dean of Students with UNC at Chapel Hill, and Dan Jones, the Fire Chief of Chapel Hill. Thank you all very much for joining us today on Campus Firewatch Radio.
Radio at firehouse.com. Real issues, real answers, real firefighters.
And welcome to Campus Firewatch Radio. Joining us today on the show is Justin Phillips, who's the Director of Education for the People's Burn Foundation, and Ronald Campbell, who's a Deputy Fire Marshal with the Raleigh Fire Department. Thanks for joining us, folks.
Thank you.
Well, we're going to be talking about To Hell and Back, the video that the People's Burn Foundation just put out, and Justin's in charge of getting the word out there and outreach to the colleges and universities to get it used. So, Justin, maybe you can fill us in a little bit about how this project came to be in the first place.
Sure thing. The People's Burn Foundation has been creating programs under the name of To Hell and Back since approximately 2004, and originally our intent was to educate firefighters on the prevention of burn injuries, but we realized in that process that there are other audiences with knowledge gaps, and the one that was recognized in the development of To Hell and Back 2 was the college demographic. So we started working on creating a program for the college demographic.
Mm-hmm. And so you got a DHS grant, Fire Prevention and Safety grant, and pulled together, what, a team of experts from across the country?
Yes, we normally pull together a subject matter expert team whenever we do these To Hell and Back programs under the Department of Homeland Security. So we were able to get in touch with Ed Camo. We found out he was the subject matter expert for the college demographic and prevention of campus fires. And so we pulled together experts from MJ Insurance. We have Purdue University, Notre Dame University, all kinds of different experts from across the country on campus fire safety.
And the idea, too, is to get some diversity in there. So, you know, this end product would apply to just about everybody by having all these different interests in there, you know, fire chiefs, insurance, schools and universities and all that sort of stuff. So to make sure that we're covering all the bases. So that was a big reason behind the diversity of the group. And well, I remember that first meeting, too. We said, oh, let's shoot a video, is what it came out to be. So that's kind of the direction we all started going in, was let's produce a video. But there was a lot in that process there, wasn't there?
There was. You know, we needed to know what the students really wanted. We wanted to know how they best were going to learn from the program we were going to deliver to them. So, you know, you put together some focus groups at 5 different schools across the country. We did an online survey at 16 universities with 584 self-selected students, and then we created a product, and we sent it out for pilot testing to 64 sites across the country.
And we sure learned a lot out of that, didn't we? A lot that at first we didn't want to hear.
We did. We found out from the students that they didn't like the message we sent, that they were offended a bit by the message, and that we didn't give them enough information. We didn't really tell them what to do, and we basically started from scratch with the program and created a new program to help back College Fire Survival is the end product.
I mean, that, you know, as much as you don't want to do that, or, well, you do want to do that beta testing, but, you know, we've got some very honest feedback, you know, and I think the biggest word we heard over and over again was cheesy when they looked at the video.
Yes, it was cheesy and offensive and a waste of time. And
yeah, but what came out the other end was dramatically different from what we went in doing. And you did mention those focus groups. I mean, one of them in particular was a pretty radical one for all of us, was in Second Life. Focus group that we did in Second Life, which is that online community, I guess is the best word for it.
Right, and you know, I personally did not have that experience with doing that Second Life focus group, but I do understand that was a pretty radical experience.
Yeah. And for those of you that may not be familiar with it out there, it is an online world that many of today's students are inhabiting, where you go in there, you pick an avatar that is you in this world, and so we had a bunch of people from actually around the world, since it is a internet-based type of thing, weighing in and being a part of it. They were able to watch the video online and then give us their comment and reaction to it. So it was a different experience, and it was also a big-time learning experience. First time I'd ever occupied Second Life, and it's an interesting place to be, shall we say. So then, you know, we came up with the video. And now it's been distributed to everybody, hasn't it, across the country?
It has been distributed to 36,000 fire departments as part of the To Helm Back box set. And then we also sent it to all the fire prevention safety officers at the universities and colleges. Occasionally they get lost in the mail, or they get delivered to an incorrect person and misplaced. So if you feel that you haven't received the program, all you have to do is give us a call, and we're happy to send out a new version to you.
And why don't you give them the phone number and the email if they do need to get a copy?
Sure. The email address is jphillips at peoplesburnfoundation.org. That's all one word, peoplesburnfoundation.org. And then we have a 317-803-2876.
So if anybody out there didn't get a copy, you can call those numbers or get in touch with Justin by email, and you know, they'll be glad to send you a copy along with all the other firefighter To Helm Back series as well.
It's all correct.
Right.
Yes.
Yep. So then the next step to this whole product, I mean, we distributed this video. It's out there. Now there's an online version as well.
Correct. When we were developing the video, and because the students had told us in their feedback that they wanted all of the information, we knew we could not get all the information in the 16-minute video we were creating. So we had, in our brainstorming session, it came up that we would like to develop a website as a resource for those students. We had a student in the room that day, and she helped us develop the name igottoknow.org. And originally I Got to Know was going to be the resource for the additional prevention and safety information, but it has now become also a place for students to go. Universities can send their students there, and they can do the whole program online from pre-test test to printing a certificate of completion.
And I think it's kind of important that we spell out that website, because it is done in text speak. And so if anybody wants to go there, it's www.igottknow.org, I Got to Know, which thought that was pretty creative. It was interesting having a student's perspective in the room there on how to put that together. And I remember in doing the focus groups, that is one of the big things that came out, is that once students realized how little they knew, they wanted to know more, but we just didn't have that one-stop shop or place to point them to learn more. So that's really what I got to know as fulfilling, is that need for information that these students have. And that's kind of interesting about this demographic, is we might say, oh, they're not interested. Well, once they realize the knowledge gap, they are interested, aren't they?
They were. They definitely give them all the nuts and bolts of it. More so, I think, than they seem to be a generation or a demographic of take charge.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. Well, it's out there. You know, People's Burn Foundation created a great product, and it's being used across the country. But now we'd like to get some perspective from the end user to say, okay, it's out there. How is it being received by the students? And maybe, Ronald, you can fill us in on that a little bit.
Absolutely.
You've been showing it to a number of students, and what's been the reaction?
Well, it's been overwhelmingly positive. I've shown it so far to about 200 people. We have five universities here in the city of Raleigh, state-owned, and the state-owned university poses a different type of jurisdictional problem. They have their own campus fire marshals, and so we're really not able to get onto that campus like we'd like to. But with the other four-year universities, we've had great success. It's been greatly received. I use it as part of my residence assistant training, and then actually one of the colleges wanted me to come back and train all the freshmen on it. So once they saw it, like Justin said, they wanted more. They wanted more information about how they could get the message out to the rest of the students. And I created an evaluation form for the program, since this was the first time we were showing it. And that was what a lot of the students said, is please bring this back and show it to everybody.
Great.
So what's some of the feedback you've been getting during the session? I mean, is it a case of students didn't realize how little they knew?
I think that's a big part of it. They just didn't realize that it was the problem that is. And, I use some of the statistics from the Campus Firewatch website. We're North Carolina ranks in the country as far as student fire death. And we've, unfortunately had lots of students to die in North Carolina. We had two in the city of Raleigh just a couple of years ago. And I'm able to relate some personal experiences to it. I was at UNC Chapel Hill in 1996 when the FIGAM fire occurred. And so I'm able to bring in some personal experiences to the training, talk about it as someone who witnessed the aftermath of a campus fire. And I think that helps to grab their attention and makes them realize that, I saw this. It's not just part of history. It happened when I was in school, and it's continuing to happen today. And we want to show them how they can prevent this from happening. And if you speak to them intelligently about it, like the video does, they receive it well.
Mm-hmm. And to tell you the truth, I didn't realize that you were at UNC when that fire did happen. Obviously, that was a pretty big emotional moment for the campus and everything, but that window of opportunity passes quickly, too, doesn't it, in terms of making an impact?
In fact, the very next school year at Chapel Hill, I tried to start a little campus fire safety group, and the window had already passed. I was unable to get anything off the ground. Mm-hmm. And so this is sort of this campus fire safety is an effort that's been sort of near and dear to me since I was in school then. And when I was at FDIC last year and saw the video for the first time, I really couldn't wait to get it in Raleigh, and I was trying to figure out how we could get it into the universities. Mm-hmm. And I knew that we'd have the residence assistant training coming up, and that would be a good foot in the door.
Mm-hmm. You've done it at four schools right now. For your peers out there that are listening, what sort of ideas or suggestions or tips might you have to offer in terms of, okay, they want to use this program, how should they go about using it, implementing it, and getting the college on board with it?
It couldn't be easier. The People's Burn Foundation has made a video that's just so easy to use. When you get in touch with your universities to schedule trainings for the RAs or for any type of group on campus, tell them, look, I've got about a 15-minute talk I'll do, then I've got about a 15- to 20-minute video, and then we'll take questions. And you can do the whole thing in less than an hour. So you have to stress to the universities that it's not going to be a huge time constraint, but the information that you're going to provide them could potentially save students' lives. And when they look at it from that perspective, it's almost hard to say no to it.
Yeah. And the video's done in almost two two parts. There's the part where there's a narrator that's explaining some of the problems and some of the solutions, and then it segues into the section called After the Fire, which is a story of two students who were severely burned at Seton Hall University. And in a very simple way, it told their story through some pretty dramatic black and white photos that actually won a Pulitzer Prize. What's been the reaction of the students to that second part, which is obviously the more impactful and dramatic part?
It's been interesting watching the students. So far, out of the four schools that I've shown it at, two have been all female schools. They're all girls universities, and it's been interesting watching their reaction versus the reaction of a mixed company crowd. When you have both male and female in the room, there's not quite as many tears, but I've seen several of the male students trying to choke back some tears with the video, with that second part. I think the thing about the second part that grabs a lot of attention is it shows two students from sort of a rough inner city neighborhood, and it shows that this can happen to anyone. Because one thing that I think is important that the video does is it doesn't just show that this is happening to a certain type of student, that this can happen to any type of student.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen lots of tears with that second part, and I know the first time I saw it, it was hard not to get emotional watching it, because those two young men went through an awful lot.
Mm-hmm. So, and Justin, back to you. Now, we've got to know there it's a resource that schools can use. It's a free resource because it was paid for through a DHS grant. If I'm a school out there, how could I use I Got to Know? What should I do to try to integrate that into my fire safety training?
The easiest route is to get in touch with me, again, through the email that we mentioned earlier, or the phone number, and let me know that you want to send your students there, because we have, a simple process for the students to register, and we like for them to use their university email address so that we can give you that information back. We will create a report for you as a university and give you all the students' email addresses that registered under your school. We can add your school to the drop-down menu so that it's easy for the students to click on their school name, and then they're kicked into the program. And all we do then, at your request, is issue you a report of the students who have been on the website and taken the training.
Yeah. And we're capturing some information in that process, do some demographic sort of stuff that helps us evaluate, you know, where the students are coming from, how they're learning, what they're learning, and certainly comparing the pretest and the post-test in there as well. But it's nothing that we're using for marketing purposes or anything like that. I think that's important to stress to everybody, that it's all staying within the project here, just to help us make it better for the future.
Right. The only reason we ask for email address is really for the school to know the student, and the only way the school is going to know the student in the most confidential way is through an email address rather than a full name. We don't ask for the student's full name in a reporting type situation. We ask for some basic demographic information that any demographic study will do, and again, that's just for us to look and see if there are any trends at all in fire safety and prevention knowledge.
Okay. Well, we're going to have links on the page here below to all the for the email and the websites and everything else that everybody's been mentioning. So if you have any questions or you want to go further on this, I really encourage everybody to go further on this project, because I think it's just outstanding. I mean, obviously, I'm a little biased having worked on it, but even so, I think, you know, as Ronald said, it's just being so well received by the students out there. And was it much of a hurdle getting the colleges to give you the time?
No, it hasn't been. Historically, we've worked well with the universities in our jurisdiction, and that we just use this. I changed the presentation that I did last year to incorporate the video, and I don't see myself going back to the way I did it last year. I'm just going to make this video part of my standard college student training from here on out.
Are any of the schools using the online version at all right now?
We've been working with them to try to get them up on it. I haven't followed back up with some of the universities yet, just, you know, from doing other projects. But
sure.
And I'm going back over to one in the near future. And, you know, they said, I saw a lot of folks writing down the web address, the I Got to Know website. And so I know some of the students were going to go to it. I don't know the extent of what they did once they got there.
All right. Okay. Well, thanks. Well, we've been talking with Justin Phillips, who's the Director of Education for the People's Burn Foundation of Indiana, and Ronald Campbell, who's the Deputy Fire Marshal with the Raleigh Fire Department. Appreciate you guys both taking the time to fill us in on your experiences on this great project.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Ed.
And as I mentioned, if you want to go to the site, it's www.igot2kno.org. And there'll be links on the webpage below that'll take you there as well. And also a link that if you need to get a copy of the video, it'll take you to Justin Phillips over at the People's Burn Foundation where you can request a copy if you didn't get one. So thanks for the time. My name is Ed Kamau. Well, we had a pretty information-filled show today. It started with the Right to Know Act and information about the provisions on that that have been signed into law by the President in August. Then we talked about I Got to Know, the new training program that's available for free from the People's Burn Foundation out of Indiana. It was part of the Department of Homeland Security Fire Prevention and Safety Grant. And then we wrapped up with the launch that we did on September 9th up there on Capitol Hill with students from the University of North Carolina and the University of South Carolina. So we've really had a busy month in the month of September. And thanks for joining us today on Campus Firewatch Radio at radioatfirehouse.com.
If you have a comment on this program, drop us a line at radioatfirehouse.com. Thanks for listening. And stay tuned to firehouse.com for more broadcasts like these. Or visit our website, www.firehouse.com/radio.